The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning I want to focus our attention to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter number 2. So Mark chapter number 2 this morning, Mark chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "And he entered Capernaum again. After some days it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the word to them. They came to him, bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' But some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk"? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralytic, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home.' Immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and to worship with other believers and to study your word. Father, we ask that everything said and done today would honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we see a familiar passage of Scripture. If you've been saved any length of time, if you've been in church, I know this isn't something that you're like, "Wow, I've never really paid attention to this." It's a familiar text. But as we look at what is taking place here, I want us to first focus on Jesus and his ministry and what Jesus is doing. It was heard that he was, you know, in the home here, and people were gathered in a great numbers. Many people gathered to hear what Jesus was going to say. And even more so than hear him, they were gathered to see what he was going to do, because they had heard about his ministry. They had heard that he could do, you know, miracles, and they wanted to see for themselves this man named Jesus. Jesus had caused this crowd together. I believe that when God is doing things, when God is at work, there's going to be some curiosity, and people are going to want to know what is taking place. Now, how does that happen? It happens because believers, people that have already accepted the message that Christ gives, are excited about what God is doing. If we're not excited about what God is doing, why is anyone going to be curious to find out about our Savior? And so I think it was just word of mouth. I don't think it was that there was a big, you know, a big campaign made, "Hey, let's get a crowd together." It just happened. And that happened many times in Jesus' ministry. Sometimes Jesus would, you know, intentionally try to get away from the crowd, and the crowd would continue to follow after him. And that's what's happening on this occasion. But we see that they brought this man that was paralyzed to Jesus. They believed that Jesus was able to do something, that Jesus would be able to heal this man. I want us to look at who Jesus is and the authority that Jesus has as God. You know, we can focus on the miracle, we can focus on the paralyzed man, and I do want us to spend some time this morning focusing on these four men that brought him to Jesus, but let's look at who Jesus is. Jesus is God. Jesus is the one that has authority. Jesus is the one that's able to heal physically, but more importantly, he's the one that's able to heal spiritually, and he's the one that's able to forgive sins. As we look at our world and we look at the needs of people around us, the need is for the message of the gospel. The need is for Christ. And we see so much going on in our society, and we say, well, if we could just change this and change that and get this law passed and get this law undone, and if we, but all of those things are really just trying to put a Band-Aid on a wound. Only Jesus can really heal the problems that are facing our society. Jesus has the authority. And when we look at the options that this world gives as to where people can find help, where people can find healing, well, the options are numerous within our society. People say, well, you know, there's a lot of religions, there's a lot of good ideas. You know, it doesn't really matter so much what you believe or who you put your faith in, as long as you're sincere. And that's a lie that Satan has perpetrated throughout the centuries. The truth is, only Jesus can make a change. Only Jesus can save. It's not that I'm narrow-minded and that's my opinion, but it's what Jesus declared himself when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's in John chapter 14. A person separated from God because of sin is only going to find peace through Jesus. He has the authority. It's this truth of Scripture that people today must hear. It's not a popular message to our secular society. You say things like that, we're going to, you know, broadcast this on Facebook and people might not like. Well, you're saying that you have to come to Christ. What about all these other ideas? Well, it's what the Word of God says. It's what Jesus has said. It might not always be popular. It wasn't popular in Jesus' day during his ministry either. The scribes that were listening to Jesus and saw the events that take place that we just read about, the scribes that were sitting there, they're reasoning in their hearts. They're thinking amongst themselves, verse number 6 tells us, and they're asking, you know, internally, why does he speak like this? They're accusing him of blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, because he is God, because he has authority, he knows what they're thinking and he answers them. I mean, that alone should show that he is not just a teacher, that he's not just a normal person like you and I, but he answers their thoughts and says, you know, why do you think these things in your hearts? He knew what was going on. He knew the doubt, the questions that they had. And the miracle that he performed in healing the man was really just to show again his authority to forgive sins, his authority as God. As you look at the doubts and the questions and the accusations of blasphemy against them, all of that negativity, it did not cause Jesus to stop from doing what he came to this earth to do. And sometimes I think we will look at people's negativity, we'll look at their doubts, we'll look at them saying, well, that's not, you know, the way that I think. And we're like, well, we want to be respectful, and we do. We don't want to be offensive with the gospel, but we respectfully must share the truth of what God has said. They didn't keep Jesus from performing this miracle. They didn't stop the ministry that Jesus was doing. As believers today, we are instructed to make disciples. Jesus, shortly before he returned to the Father, he told the disciples gathered there to make disciples of all nations. And that is what we as believers are to continue to do today as well. We are to do exactly what these four men did, and that is to bring people to Jesus. Now, it might not be that we, you know, have a mat and a cot and we're carrying them up on a roof, but in a real sense, we're still obligated to bring people to Jesus today. To do that, we might have to have a relationship with them. We might have to know them. We might have to have a friendship and some trust to say, hey, this is what God has done in my life. And then we bring them to him. We introduce them to Jesus. We introduce them to what God has done. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to have success, if you will, in bringing people to Jesus, I think there's a few things that we can learn from these four men in our text. And so I want us to focus a few minutes on the four men. These four men, they demonstrate compassion, faith, and resolve. Compassion being a quality of showing kindness or favor or having pity or mercy. The Bible talks about God's compassion to those that revere Him. Jesus is the example of compassion through His teaching, through His ministry, through His miracles, and then ultimately in giving His life on the cross in our place. Jesus demonstrates that compassion. It's important for us to recognize that in Scripture, when we look at compassion, when we see compassion talked about or the idea of compassion in Scripture, it's important for us to recognize that it's always a feeling and an appropriate action based on that feeling. Compassion isn't just an emotion. It's not just, well, we feel sorry for somebody or we have a concern or a love for somebody. It's not just an emotion, but in Scripture, when we see compassion, it is linked with an appropriate action, an appropriate response. Our text could talk about these men and tell us that they had compassion and it was simply an emotion and they felt sorry for this paralyzed man. Well, okay, they see the need, but that wouldn't have really changed anything if there wasn't action connected to the compassion, to the emotion. People are hurting all around us. I don't know a whole lot about this community here in Mooringsport, but if it's like any other place that I've visited in this country, people are in need. People are hurting. I've looked at articles and I've looked at statistics talking about just since March when they started saying, you know, stay at home, stay indoors, you know, don't go out, you know, slow the spread. But just the change in people's lives that we're used to a routine. You get up, you go to work, you come home, there's a routine. Just that change caused a lot of challenges in people's lives. And I look at stuff talking about how depression, people with depression and different mental health things are on the rise just because life has changed during those months. And people are in need. People are hurting. And we can look around at our community and we can look at the people that come in contact with us on a day-to-day basis and we can say, wow, we see a need. But do we do anything about it? Do we point them to the one who has the answers, or do we just say, "Well, okay, we'll think about it. We'll be concerned. We'll pray maybe." How do we get involved? How do we put action with the emotion? People are hurting. Many people within our society have no idea where to turn for help. A lot of people during these times, they don't turn to God, but they turn to things that will only compound the problem. They'll turn to things that will only cause more pain in their lives. Are we aware of the people that we meet? Are we concerned for what they're going through? Do we care? Do we bring them to Jesus? Only Jesus can ultimately heal. Only Jesus can ultimately do something about the life of the people that we come in contact with. When we think about our own lives as believers sitting here today, you know, what did you do to make your life better? How did you fix your life? How did you fix your problems? You say, well, Pastor, I haven't. I've still got problems. If you're like many of us, maybe you say, well, we're doing pretty good, but I can't remember what I did. Oh, wait, I came to Jesus. Jesus has done it in my life. Jesus does the work that we cannot do on our own. And if we're going to reach this community for Christ, we must be moved to action. We must risk being rejected in order to tell people about the love of God. And when we think about that rejection, If we are rejected because we tell people about the gospel, we're not alone. Jesus was rejected. The disciples were rejected. And it's not us, but it is God that they are rejecting. And we were never given the responsibility of determining what people would do with the message. We weren't told to go and save people. We were told to go and tell people. The responsibility of what they do with it is between them and God, but we have an obligation to introduce people to Jesus. So do we have compassion? Does it move us to action? Secondly, these men had faith. Verse number 5 tells us that Jesus saw their faith. What I like about this is these men acted on what they knew about Jesus, and they had enough faith to believe Jesus could do something for this man, but these were not the religious experts. These were not, from what I get in the text, these were not scholars of Old Testament, you know, scriptures. These were ordinary people. And sometimes I think Satan tries to trick us into thinking that in order for us to really, you know, tell people about Jesus, we have to have all of the answers. We have to know all of the intricate details of theology. We have to, and we make it so complicated that what do? We tell nobody because, well, we're not qualified. Well, these men, they took what they knew and they acted in faith. This morning, when we talk about telling people about Jesus, what does it require us to know? It requires us to know Jesus and know what Jesus has done in your life. You don't have to have every answer to every theological debate. I'll tell you a secret, even the theologians, they don't have the answers. That's why they've debated it for centuries. And so we continue to tell people what God's done for us. It's only difficult because we make it complicated. The reality is the gospel is very easy to understand. That's why children, you know, very easily come to faith in Christ. And we know what he's done in our lives. We act upon that in faith, believing that he can make a change in our neighbor's life and that co-worker's life as well. They had a limited understanding of Jesus, but they demonstrated great faith based on what they knew. Also, when we think about sharing our faith, sometimes it's better not to have all of the details, all of the complexities and all that stuff that we want to get sidetracked with, because until a person comes to faith in Christ, the message of the gospel is really the only message that matters. Paul talked about on occasion how he determined to know nothing save Christ and him crucified. And people like to get Christians to talk about all of these other issues that are many times important. But until a person comes to Christ, they're not going to be able to understand the Word of God and what God says about all of those other life issues. Sure, we can engage on some of those issues, but we should always want to steer the conversation back to Christ and what he has done. The third thing that I see with these men is resolve. I mean, if we think about this passage, I think that, and I might be the only one, and it might be because of Sunday school and those little flannel, you know, drawings, but when I think about this passage, I think about the hole in the roof. I think about what these men did to overcome the problem. They arrive at the house. The house is full to where no one can get in at the door, and it was at that point the decision had to be made. And these men took a creative approach to finding a solution. They could have said, well, it's not meant to happen today. We'll check back tomorrow when it's not so busy and see if we can, you know, get an audience with him. They could have come up with an excuse. They could have just given up. But they had resolve. Resolve is determination. They had a determination to get to Jesus, no matter what that might look like. And so they take him up on the roof, which, you know, it's one thing to lower him down, but you also got to get the man that's paralyzed up on the roof. That's not an easy thing. You also have to consider, what are people going to think? I mean, how many people in our society and in our culture don't do anything for Christ or just in general? They make decisions always based on, well, what are people going to think? These men could have been like that. These men could have, you know, simply said, well, we're going to create kind of a ruckus if we do this. People might not like it. But they didn't care. They had determination to see this man get to Jesus. They had determination that caused them to go up on a roof, take the roof apart, and lower the man down to where Jesus was. The crowd didn't stop them from doing what they had set out to do. And when we think about determination and resolve, church, if we're going to do something for the cause of Christ, if we're going to have an impact that truly has purpose and significance for the kingdom of God, we're going to face challenges. We're going to face opposition. We're going to face setbacks in times that we say, well, are we wasting our time? Are we spinning our wheels? Should we just stop? Don't stop. Continue on. Have resolve. Have determination. Because what God has asked of us hasn't changed. Sure, our culture changes, society changes, things happen that we might not like, but God asked us to go and to tell people about Jesus and what Jesus has done for them. That message hasn't changed, it's not changing, and that message is still just as relevant for our culture today as it was way back then in the first century. So do we have that kind of resolve? Are we going to share our faith? Are we willing to bring people to Jesus? Yes, we'll face challenges. We will encounter oppositions, but we must press on. We must have compassion. We must have faith. We must have resolve. And so this morning, I'm going to ask if you would stand with me. We're going to have the musicians come, prepare for a time of invitation. But I want us to reflect on these verses that we've read and the example of these men that they didn't have authority, they didn't have answers, they didn't have the ability to do miracles, but they knew of one that did. And they were willing to do whatever it took to get this man to Jesus. How is God burdening your heart this morning? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you find yourself in this church service and you say, well, I don't know if I can bring anyone to Jesus right now because I don't know that I've ever made that decision myself. I don't know exactly all the details of what you're talking about, and it kind of does sound complicated. It's not. And there's people here that would love to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved today. Maybe, believer, God is challenging you. He says, maybe God is putting a burden on your heart. After everything that we've gone through already this year from March, and a lot of people reevaluating what's most important in their life during this time, maybe God's saying, hey, I want you to spend more time bringing people to me. I want you to have a greater impact on this community for me. However God's working in your life this morning, we want to give you that opportunity to respond as we sing.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.